This is America Weekend. I'm Mike Bennett. In a moment, we'll talk about wildlife rehabilitation with Anne-Marie Lucas from Animal Planet. But first, who survives a disaster and who doesn't? After looking through data from different historical disasters, researchers say that they have found the formula to how people tend to react. They believe that 75% of people are so overwhelmed and stressed by the situation that they are unable to think clearly. Then 10% of people go so crazy that they actually endanger and hinder others who are trying to survive. That leaves only 15% who keep their usual clear and level head and are able to help themselves and others survive. Of the people in that 75% who freeze up, there are often cases where they don't survive, even though they could have, because they are so mentally paralyzed. On September 11, 2001, many people waited or never even went for the exits. They shut down their computer, locked up their office, took a trip to the bathroom, and checked their email before deciding to head down the stairs. In disaster situations, people just need to follow the emergency evacuation plan. In emergencies, events are happening faster than we can process them, and that's why our brains have a hard time keeping up with our survival instincts. Most of the time, it's groups of people in an emergency who work together to help save each other. Some people would rather die early than to have to take a pill every day. Researchers have found that more than 8% of people are willing to trade up to 2 years of life to avoid taking pills daily, while about 21% would trade between 1 week and a year to avoid taking any pills. And about 1 in 5 would be willing to pay at least $1,000 to avoid taking a pill every day for the rest of their lives. A majority of women say it's important that their mom approves of their boyfriend or partner. Researchers found 6 in 10 young women say when they're thinking of getting serious with somebody, their mother's approval is extremely or very important. And 4 in 10 would consider breaking up with someone if their mother didn't like them. While 16% say they have dumped a guy for that reason. This is America Weekend. I'm Mike Bennett. A regular contributor here is Anne-Marie Lucas, formerly of Animal Precinct on Animal Planet. Good morning, Anne-Marie.
Good morning, Mike.
It's so good to talk to you again. And I know one of the things that you've been investigating and looking into and doing is wildlife rehab. Tell us about this.
Yes. Well, you know, I've spent my whole professional career helping animals, mainly domestic animals, dogs, cats, horses, farm animals, which was wonderful. But then I discovered along the way this whole other world of wildlife rehabilitation. And there's a whole network of amazing, dedicated people who spend their lives, because they're so dedicated, to helping our local wildlife. And it's really an incredible thing that these people do. They give of their time, their own money, just to make sure that animals that are injured in the wild, or baby animals that are newly born and their mothers have abandoned them for whatever reason, that these animals get a chance to live and go back into the wild and thrive. It's a wonderful, wonderful network of people I've discovered.
Now, do you actually have to have some training for this, though, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's not something that you enter into without knowledge of what you're doing. You actually have to have a license. I know in New York State, you have to be a licensed wildlife rehabilitator, and there's a test that you can take, you can study for. But the other thing that you can do if you're not into getting a license and being that dedicated is you can be an assistant to these people who are spending the time actually rehabilitating the baby animals or adults that have been injured, and you can do transport for them. You can pick up supplies for them if they need supplies. You can certainly try and hook up with a local rehabilitator, and it's something you should have on your speed dial. I mean, how many times have you come across an injured animal and you didn't know what to do? I mean, I think this happens to a lot of people out there. You come across an injured, let's say a bird or a squirrel, even a deer that gets hit by a car. I mean, I know in upstate New York, I mean, there's roadkill everywhere, or injured animals on the side of the road, people driving on country roads, and it's heartbreaking to see. And as a normal person, what do you do?
Well, you know, that's a good question, and I have to admit, this is so funny that you bring this up. I'm just going to tell a little story.
Okay.
When I was a little boy, my brother and I started the BBAHAO. Are you ready?
Okay.
The Battered, Bruised, and Hurt Animal Organization.
Oh,
and we,
yay!
We would make little stretchers out of like a cloth, and we'd put two pencils through it on either side. And when we saw an animal on the side of the road, we'd run out with our little stretcher, put them on the stretcher, and bring them to the backyard and try to nurse them back to health. And then if that didn't work out so well, we had a pet cemetery right up the road in the woods. And we would put them in a little box coffin and put a cross up with their name and the date and everything. And
oh my gosh.
So I was trying to be a wildlife rehabber back in the 60s without even knowing what I was doing.
You're a pioneer. I mean, that's amazing. And, you know, that's because you have compassion. And that's something, you know, we all should have toward wildlife because they're so important to our ecosystem. And it's a life. I mean, they all have their own lives and they would love to lead a life. And if they get injured because of a result of something that we've done, maybe hit them by a car. I mean, I have to admit, I've hit two squirrels since I've been upstate. I mean, they just commit suicide, these squirrels up here, especially in like the fall when they're trying to gather their nuts before winter. And it's heartbreaking. But in one case, the squirrel survived for a little while, and the other one, he did not. And it's just so hard to deal with when you've struck and killed an animal. I mean, no one wants to admit that, but I think it happens to everybody, especially people who live, you know, in the upstate, you know, areas or in the country.
We're talking with Anne-Marie Lucas from Animal Precinct, one of our regulars here on America Weekend. I'm sorry I interrupted you. Keep going.
No. So it's heartbreaking. And so I finally decided after living upstate that I have to get in touch with the local rehabbers. I've got to know who these people are and I've got to be in touch with them. And that's something that everybody can do. Every state, like in New York, we have newyork.gov. You can go on and there's a list of wildlife, licensed wildlife rehabilitators that you can contact. And, you know, the complaint is always that, well, they never call me back. They don't answer. Most of the good rehabbers will have a recording of what you can do. And what they will say is, you know, if it's a baby animal, don't automatically pick up that baby animal and put it in a warm box and put it in your basement. You have to wait a little while to see if the parents come back. I mean, it depends on the situation, and these are things that you can certainly read about if you're interested. But if you do have an animal that you've had to take in, don't try and feed it or give it water right away. Keep it warm, dark, and quiet and safe until you can get in touch with a wildlife rehabilitator. And I'm not talking about, you know, taking in a coyote. You know, don't put yourself in a situation that you don't know how to deal with. I've been dealing with animals and capturing animals my, you know, entire adult life. So I'm really good at getting out there and rescuing. But most people aren't. So you really have to, you know, enlist people who do know. You can call the police, you know, but a lot of times the police are told to just discharge their weapon and put the animal out of its misery. And, you know, that's something that, you know, I deal with all the time. And I try and get to the animal first before that happens and get them to a safe rehabber. So, but if you have a good police department, they will certainly know those rehabbers. So, I mean, I think it's just about, you know, taking care of your wildlife and caring about the wildlife and realizing that in horrible conditions like we've had this winter, they need help. They definitely need help.
All right. So now have you actually rehabbed some wildlife?
I have on a short-term basis because I'm not a licensed rehabber. I work with local rehabbers, but I had a Canadian goose in my basement for a night last year, during this time of year, actually, and you think they migrate, but a lot of birds don't migrate. They try and stay close to a food source. So a Canadian goose, his mate had been killed on the side of the road, and cars were zooming by, and this little Canadian goose, the female, had her head tucked under her wing, and I thought she was dead at first. I went out to check, and she, you know, popped her head up and looked at me. So I rescued her and I put her in my basement. I kept her warm and dry. I called a rehabber. They gave me the okay to feed her a particular kind of lettuce until I was able to get her to an animal hospital that cared for injured wildlife and then on to a rehabber. And now she's living, you know this place actually, Green Chimneys, upstate New York in Brewster. She's living there now on a pond with other Canadian geese. So that was really cool. I got to do that.
Oh, that's nice. So you can actually go visit if you'd like.
Absolutely. I check in on her once in a while. Absolutely.
So let's get to the pet tip of the week, because this is a good one.
Yeah. As I look out my window, I'm looking at the bird feeder that I set up for all of the birds that didn't migrate because they do have a good food source. And I want to ask people, if you can, and if you're interested, get a suet feeder. It's S-U-E-T. And what it is, it's a block of seeds, berries, all good things that birds love to eat to keep them warm and keep their energy level up. You can buy a little hang It's like a little bird feeder. It's like a cage, and you stick up this block of seed in it, and it keeps the birds eating constantly, which they need to do, and it really, really gets them through these tough winters. Tractor Supply, everybody has a Tractor Supply in their area. They have a great supply of Royal Wing Suet, which I use, and it really is wonderful to see these amazing birds. And I've got cardinals out there. I've got blue jays. I even have woodpeckers. An occasional baby hawk will come around, which is kind of neat, scares all the other birds away. But it really is a flutter of activity around my bird feeder. And the birds really do need help at this time of year. It's tough. It's tough on them.
Flutter around your bird feeder. Anne-Marie.
It warms my heart, Mike.
It sounds great. Listen, thanks for talking to us again this week. Great advice. We'll all check out our wildlife rehabber in our neck of the woods, wherever we're listening today to America Weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Excellent. Thanks, Mike.
All right, Anne-Marie Lucas with Mike Bennett, and this is America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. Steve owns a neighborhood bar with multiple HD TVs. He is selling tickets to a heavily advertised Super Bowl party, which includes tons of food and drinks. But by doing so, he is breaking the law. How? The Final Verdict after this.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
The words Super Bowl are owned by the NFL. Steve can't advertise a commercial event or sell tickets to anything called a Super Bowl party. Advertisers pay huge dollars to the NFL for the rights to use the words Super Bowl, so the phrase is tightly protected by the NFL legal team. And that's the final verdict.
Now, Cheap Psych Tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Does your child have a problem sticking to things? I mean, they keep trying one activity, wanting to quit, and then try something else completely different. What to do? Here's the developmental science of it. The issue of completing what you started sounds simple, but it's incredibly complicated. Make sure that your child has the physical abilities to excel at the new task. If that's okay, then encourage them to continue. If they still want to quit, look at their social abilities. Do they play well with others? Are they avoiding someone like their coach or teacher?
I eat quitters for breakfast and I spit out their bones.
So what's the cheap psychological trick? Well, from childhood to adulthood, when we quit something, there's always a reason. Smart parents will talk to their children, find out the reason, the cause, and then once you find the reason, you can find a solution. Check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.